Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to our show. It is the Buckmaster Show for this Monday, the 2nd of July, 2012, first day of the new fiscal year, actually the first work day of the fiscal year. Hope you had a great weekend and are getting ready to celebrate a midweek 4th of July holiday. The home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We live stream the show on my website, buckmastershow.com, and at the station's website, kvoi.com, and we have the show posted for you by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon each day on three websites. My website, buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com have the program for you for 24/7 anywhere, anytime listening. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We launched today's edition of the Buckmaster Show with our Monday political face-off with one of our two teams of political commentators. Today it's John Munger and Vince Ribago. Then a new fiscal year is here. We'll get a mid-year calendar assessment on the Arizona economy. UA economic forecaster Marshall Vest will join me in studio. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. It's very easy. You can call us on our live line at 790-2040. If you have a question, you can submit that using the Facebook page, which we'll check during the show. We get things rolling on the Monday political face-off. John Munger is here, Tucson attorney and former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010. And we have Vince Ribago with us, former attorney general candidate for the Democratic Party from 2010. The Monday political face-off sponsored by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Vince and John, how are you today?
Good.
Good. How are you?
Getting ready for the 4th of July, which is kind of strange when it's midweek, isn't it?
It is. It is strange.
Don't know whether to celebrate the whole week or just wait for Wednesday.
Well, I think we should celebrate the whole week.
The whole week and the whole year, after all. It is Independence Day. Rio Nuevo board, John Munger, despite being really less than a month into this reconstituted Rio Nuevo board headed up by Fletcher McCusker, managed to pass a budget of just over $11 million on Friday. John, you've got some ideas saying that if we want to make downtown sizzle again, several things are going to have to happen.
Well, I think so. I wish the reconstituted Rio Nuevo board the best. I have a lot of confidence in Fletcher and Chris Schief and, of course, Alberto Moore. I think that what you're talking about, Bill, is I would like to see the Rio Nuevo board work with the city and the University of Arizona to formulate a concrete plan and then execute a plan to put a new University of Arizona football stadium, a state-of-the-art football stadium, and a state-of-the-art larger basketball arena in downtown Tucson. The advantages of that are many. Number one, you would draw all of that traffic that's cluttered around the University of Arizona, every athletic event, downtown to all of those restaurants and all of the venues that we have. And downtown is starting to develop. We need business down there. That's the way to get them down there. It would give the trolley, the famous vaunted trolley, a purpose to actually bring students downtown. It would draw the traffic downtown, and it would free up a lot of space at the University of Arizona, which is, as you know, very crowded. We could rebuild downtown Tucson with those types of the football stadium could be used for baseball, could be used for soccer. The basketball arena could be used for hockey as well. Look at what L.A. has done with the Coliseum in L.A. I mean, USC plays at the Coliseum. They don't have their own football field. And we could have a lot of nice events down there. University of Arizona could be the prime user. We could defer to them on all their events, but bring in all kinds of other events. I really think that's the future. Let's do something with downtown that is really has some vision with it instead of fiddling around the edges. Let's get some business down there. And so I hope some folks are listening to make that happen.
Vince, what do you think about that plan of John's?
You know, I'm always for looking at new ideas. And I think there's some problems in the short term for considering those kinds of ideas, namely that they have facilities right now. To my knowledge, there's nothing inadequate about the stadium at the university. So I don't know that there's enough to draw them to want to engage in something.
Especially they're putting in all that new seating. And
yeah, they just put the big, massive new screen. They've, over the years, built the skyboxes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been a lot of talk about those sorts of things, but the question is then where does the money come from? How is it going to get there? I think John's right. I think it is the development is happening downtown. I just saw a massive student apartment development that's almost completed there on 6th Street, right near 4th Avenue, which I think is going to certainly add to the usage of the trolley that where the construction is almost done. Actually, I guess they're going to be finishing up most of it in July. So I see a lot of things happening. I see restaurants opening up downtown. I see things happening. There's many new restaurants that have opened up, and you have the new parking garage. So I do see vibrancy occurring. You see private money putting in some of these things, and that's what's needed.
But the cost issue with what
the cost issue, I think, is going to be a big problem. And I think the other part of the big problem, it's just getting to the point where people are comfortable, because you've seen the years of problematic issues with Rio Nuevo and Rio Nuevo development and the audits and the investigations and the lawsuits. So I think people are going to be gun shy. I'm not saying these aren't ideas to talk about.
Those are separate issues. And I think that the Rio Nuevo board, I mean, the city clearly, when it controlled Rio Nuevo years ago, misspent about $250 million. And Rio Nuevo ought to get that money back. But that's a separate issue. We also need to move forward. So I'm not saying forget about the past. That is a separate issue. That is another job the Rio Nuevo board has to do. But I would say I understand your point about the football stadium, Vince. We have a football stadium. But let's start at least with a state-of-the-art basketball arena that holds more than 14,000 people.
So you're saying it's time for really a bold idea.
We need to – let's have some bold vision in this city. And let's start with a basketball arena. Build it downtown so that we could play major basketball, have 29,000-30,000 people in that arena like most of the major basketball teams in the country have. You could make it large enough so you could play hockey in there. Many arenas do that. They put the hockey rink right underneath the basketball court. Mm-hmm. It's done all the time. You could have arena football in there. You could have soccer in there. You could do a lot of things if we just had some vision. But let's get some people downtown, and let's use those opportunities to build that downtown. So we don't need to do it all at once. Let's start with the basketball arena. Build our football program, and we can't do it all at once, but let's start making it happen. And we need to take what we have and leverage it and get those people downtown. We have a lot of people downtown that have invested. And so let's make it happen. We can make downtown sizzle if we just use some vision. But we need some destinations down there for people to go to. And once they go, they'll start eating at the restaurants and making it happen.
And all I'm saying is I think the public is going to be reticent given what's happened. We have to move forward. But anytime you start talking about these sorts of plans, given the fact there had been prior opportunities to put sports arenas, you know, with the baseball stadium that was put further down south, so people look at these things, and you got to have public support for these sorts of things. I see things happening. I agree with that. And I think you got to wait. Let's see how this goes. I don't think you need to start saying, oh, now we we suddenly need a basketball arena. Come on, UVA. Now we need a new football stadium down here. I think it's already happening. We got to let this come to fruition.
Let it percolate
here. I don't think so. I think you need some vision. These things will take it'll take a decade to build that. And if we don't start now, we're never going to have it happen. I think that if we started working on it, we clearly need a new basketball arena. McHale has been a wonderful facility, but it is nowhere near large enough to hold the kind of crowd that we could hold in an arena. And incidentally, if we had that kind of thing downtown, all of a sudden a downtown hotel would become something we need.
Yeah. Let's go to Joe right now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Joe has a comment about downtown. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, you guys. I'll tell you what, I'm glad this discussion is taking place because I agree. It would be so nice to merge that plan or revitalization of, you know, something sports meets. Raj Kohli has a Tucson Fountain Plaza. It's the boldest plan I have seen for downtown, and it's a Bellagio-style fountains that, you know, just is a huge water attraction, but it meets, that shuts down and turns into concert staging that you could bring in 40,000 people, and it's just...
What a terrific idea. It's a wonderful idea. What's it called?
It's Fountain Plaza.
It's called Tucson Fountain Plaza Project.
And where would that be, Joe?
Right downtown by the that naked piece of land that's...
That was going to be the baseball stadium that we moved to the south side that failed.
Yeah, well, you know what, but golly, wouldn't that be nice if you could really revitalize that downtown and give people... That's the biggest economic driver that I've seen. That's smart money because it captures most of our money here. I think it's $1 out of $3 comes from Mexico. If they have a plaza where we have tourism, a central plaza, like many big cities do, it just really concentrates those dollars. They have a place to go. Then they fan out to the city. You want to go to Mount Lemmon, go to Mount Lemmon. You want to go to Karchner Caverns, go there. You know, but you have a destination. Right now, Tucson really doesn't have a destination.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I'm talking about. That's the essence of what I'm talking about, Joe, is we need some destinations downtown. I will tell you, we've had the private investors, now that the city has finally let go of this project and quit trying to take it over and let private investors invest, which took them a decade to do. But now that they finally let private investors invest, and they have invested, let's give people in Tucson a destination down there, of some major destinations.
And I want to say that the Tucson Fountain Plaza idea, Raj Kohli has been kicking that idea around. I think if you do a Google and put Tucson Fountain Plaza, you will see what Raj has in mind, and okay. His plans are up there too.
Yeah, I know Raj, and Raj has been pushing that vision. I do want to circle back, though, because I noticed, you know, these gratuitous shots blaming the city for everything. And the reality is there has obviously it has not happened the way that voters wanted it to happen. This has been a political issue, and we need to depoliticize that issue. You know, then what happened in 2010, the legislature takes it over, quite literally, and appoints their own Rio Nuevo board, which then led to another
Thank God they took it away, because the city literally misspent $250 million dollars.
The reality is that's not entirely accurate.
That's what the audit showed, Vince.
We got to go.
No, the audit showed accurate. That.
We're going to take that's a break right here. When we come back, we'll talk about the health care law. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at Moe'sGallery.com. Moe's, since 1985, they've got it all. Custom frame mirrors to picture framing and hanging systems and services. And, of course, they've got some pretty fine art as well at Moe's. John Munger is with us and Vince Rabago. Let's talk a little bit about, of course, what really turned out to be a historic week for the Supreme Court, its final week of the session. Vince Rabago, are you at all concerned as a Democrat that this will energize the conservatives and the Republicans? I'm talking about the Obama health care law.
No, I think any time you have any election, as things go along, both sides get mobilized. Certainly, that's what the Republican Party is trying to do, is to mobilize their voters around this issue because their candidate has had such a difficult time attracting support from their own base, and so they're trying to use this as a crutch to try to get them to close the gap. But the problem that they're going to face is while provides a little bit of mobilization, because then they can focus in on this, and then they're using Congress as a tool to try to call for a vote and politicize the issue. The reality is Romney Care is working in Massachusetts, and so people were joking already about how the first thing that President Obama did was thank the Supreme Court for its ruling, and then thank Romney for thinking of the idea and the plan, because this is what he pushed. This is the same idea, the mandate in Massachusetts. The numbers are very good there in terms of keeping costs down. So in a sense, it gives a little bit of political wins to the Republican Party, but at the same time, it effectively neutralizes Mitt Romney on the issue that his base has the most difficulty, one of the issues they have the most difficulty with him in the first place.
John
so
Munger.
That's my thought.
What do you think, John? The strategy being laid out here is if the Republicans take the Senate,
Here's where we
again.
Are. Okay. We started with and here's the politics of it. We started with a medical care system where 260 million Americans already had health care. 85% already had health care. We're doing this whole thing so that we can get health care to another 15%. In the course of it, this plan involves cutting Medicare, taking money away from Medicare to the tune of $500 billion, adding another $500 billion, $500 billion, in what the Supreme Court has defined as taxes. Those taxes, incidentally, and I have these documents, there are 20 new taxes that come with this plan. 20. 75% of those taxes will fall on people who make $120,000 or less. So we have 20 brand new taxes, and we have, get this, Bill, 159 new federal agencies and commissions, all with unelected bureaucrats that are going to be telling us how to run our healthcare system. Mm. So what we've got and what the Republican Party is talking about is a healthcare plan. And incidentally, the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, has estimated itself, which is independent, has estimated this is going to cost somewhere between 800,000 and a million jobs. Wow. So, and we're still, incidentally, with cutting Medicare by $500 billion and adding $500 billion in taxes, we're still going to be short another $500 trillion to $1 trillion.
John paints a scary picture.
So that's what reality is. Those are the numbers.
Okay.
And it's going to be very easy to go to somebody like Rich Carmona, who's running for Senate on the Democratic Party, and saying, how are you going to vote, Rich? Are you going to vote for Obamacare or against Obamacare? And that's the question he's going to be asked.
Bill, I think you hit it right on the head. Bill and the Republican Party present a scary picture.
Well, John, this is pretty scary.
It's
what
very
he's
scary because what they can't win on is the facts. So
those
they're using
the facts,
fear. Let me explain. Let me address these alleged facts. This was one of the examples for example, in the race between Jesse Kelly and Ron Barber. The Republican Congressional Committee put a ton of money trying to make these sorts of arguments about this $500 billion a cut to Medicare. The reality is these are future restrictions on providers' profits. This is not taking anybody's Medicare away. So they're saying this is a cut to your benefits, and they kept pushing that issue and pushing that issue when it's false. They're trying to scare people because they don't have the facts. So when you look at those numbers and there's not a $500 billion cut to Medicare, it's a $500 billion lie being pushed by the Republican Party. Now let's talk about the taxes and the tax side of this thing. You know, now as soon as the Supreme Court said that this could be done under the taxing authority, then all of a sudden you now see the political spin saying Obama has raised your taxes more. You know, this is the biggest tax increase in history. I've heard that ad nauseum since that. And if you do the research, that is factually again false. You can look at the charts. You can look at, for example, the Bush tax increase of 1990, same equivalent effect, 0.5% of GDP. Clinton tax increases 1993, the same. You go back to Reagan, it was a greater tax increase in 1982.
So 0.6. You're admitting this is a tax increase.
I'm saying that there's going to be costs. Hey, the Supreme Court is what called
it. So
it's
a tax increase.
It's a penalty, my view.
So
no matter how you slice it, you have to pay. What Republicans don't want
so it's a tax
is they don't
increase.
Want to fix the system. Now you see he wants to interject that because he doesn't want to hear the facts that the reality
I'm
is.
I'm just glad to hear you admit it's a tax increase.
Hey, I'm telling you what the facts are. If you want to label it like the Supreme Court has labeled it, It was never pushed as a tax increase. It's a penalty because the reality is, for example, you drive your car, you got to have insurance, right?
Quickly,
you got to pay for that. You want to call your insurance tax?
Let me tell you something.
But you got to help pay for the system.
Obama sent his Solicitor General into the Supreme Court to argue it was a tax increase. It is a tax increase. You can't have the decision and then say it's not a tax increase. The fact of the matter is Obama himself said we're cutting Medicare by half a trillion dollars. Now, Vince, what you're saying is that comes out of the out of what we pay the providers. That means you're going to have fewer providers. You're going to have fewer doctors, fewer hospitals because you're paying them less. You can't have it all. You're going to end up with rationing.
John and Vince got to go. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. John and Vince, thank you very much. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Mississippi's only abortion clinic is open after a federal judge temporarily blocked enforcement of a law that the clinic argues could regulate it out of business. It's a third day of sweltering temperatures in much of the eastern part of the country, even as more than 2 million people endure another day without power in the aftermath of a round of severe summer storms. The crash of an Air National Guard cargo plane that was fighting wildfires in South Dakota left at least one crew member dead. Checking Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is down about 39 points. Blue chips at 12,841. The NASDAQ trading 7 points higher. The S&P 500 index is unchanged. More details at srnnews.com.
Do you have a family?
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
It's 12:34 on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Arts, hiking, birding, exploring the Mogollon Ghost Town, Silver City's historic downtown. Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Make a great, cool weekend getaway this summer, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to the mile-high elevation city of Silver City. And there's plenty of great accommodations in Silver City, including Wilderness Lodge. You can check out more at Silver City, Grant County. That's at southwestnewmexico.org. We are at the mid-year point in 2012, as today is the first business day of the new fiscal year. If 2011, the year that Arizona turned the corner on what has been a very difficult financial road since 2008, where are we now in the road to recovery? Joining me to explore that question, Marshall Vest, economic forecaster at the Eller College of Business at the University of Arizona. Marshall, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Bill. Thank you.
We are in year three here of the recovery, and some pretty good news been coming out. We'll get to that in a moment. But where do you see us here at the on this first business day of the fiscal year?
Well, Bill, 3 years now since the national recession came to an end. So we're 3 years into this recovery. And in Arizona, the recovery is proceeding, but it's at a very slow pace. Pretty much as it was when we talked last, we have employment statewide growing at about a 2% rate. If you compare employment growth during this recovery to what we saw in prior recovery periods, what we find is this recovery is slow. It's about what we experienced in the early 1990s. Following the 1990-91 recession. So during the past year statewide, we've created about 75,000 jobs.
But how many have we lost, Marshall?
Well, during the Great Recession, we lost over 300,000. So you can see that at this pace, it's going to be 2015 or even 2016 before we recover all of those jobs that are lost.
The consumer sentiment seems to be a little slow in picking up, doesn't it?
Yeah, consumer sentiment has actually suffered here in the last few weeks. Of course, we've had disappointing results with employment growth and then all the questions with the fiscal cliff at the end of the year that could actually be quite devastating for the economy. And the fiscal cliff, of course, I'm referring to the expiration of the Bush tax cuts, the payroll tax cut, the extension of the unemployment benefits will expire as well. And then there's a big cut in spending that will result from last year's failure to reach a budget deal. So altogether, that's about 3% off of GDP growth. Of course, the economy is only growing at 2%. So if Congress is unable to do anything, that means recession in the first half of next year. And I again, Bill, I think that's why confidence is so low, is we just don't have confidence that with this political system, the situation that we're in, that Congress will be able to take the necessary steps to avoid what could be a disaster.
Marshall Vest is with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're coming up now on 12:39. If you would like to join in the conversation, perhaps you have a question about the economy. And the best place to direct that question is the man himself, Marshall Vest, 790-2040, 790-2040, for a question or comment for Marshall Vest. How about sales measures, the sales tax increases, or excuse me, the sales tax revenues statewide? How are they running this year?
Well, it's a little slower than what we saw last year. You know, we saw a release of pent-up demand, and auto sales took a big jump there last year. Very typical of the early stages of a recovery when consumers finally are comfortable with the idea that the economy is expanding, and so they move to satisfy some of this pent-up demand. Well, that period now is behind us. So what we're seeing so far this year are sales that are still okay, but they're running quite a bit slower than last year. So in May, retail sales, for instance, 2.6% higher on a year-over-year basis. Restaurant and bar sales were up 6.3%. There's nothing wrong with those, but it's less than the 8% gains that we saw last fiscal year.
How about the income growth? Has it been quite slow as well?
Yeah, income growth, personal income growth, is at best mediocre. We now have data for the first quarter of 2012. That was, and personal income was up 3.3% year on year. That's really pretty slow. Wages in the private sector, at least excluding government, actually were up about 4.7%. So the wages look pretty good, but it's not being reflected yet in personal income.
790-2040, 790-2040 for questions for Marshall Vest. Marshall, as you say, the wage is not really keeping up. We did have a minimum wage increase. Does that impact the economy at all?
Bill, I don't think there's much of an impact. Most people are working for wages higher than the minimum wage. So even when the minimum wage increases, it really doesn't affect that many people.
We have a caller to the Buckmaster Show live line. We have Raj Kohli with us. And Raj, we were just talking about you and the Tucson Fountain Plaza during our political face-off at the top of the show today. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much. And I appreciate you talking about the Tucson Fountain Plaza. I think that's what we really need in this town. But I'll ask Marshall West a question. I am a real estate agent, as you know, and I'm wondering what your thought is as far as, you know, the market bottoming out, and perhaps what parts of the real estate market do you think, including the new home sales, what are your thoughts about the real estate market in terms of resale and new home sales, and perhaps if you have any thoughts on the distressed part of the market?
Okay, thanks, Raj.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that question, Raj. It's good to hear from you. We haven't talked about housing.
It was next on my list, of course. Yes. So Raj's timing is perfect.
That's a perfect segue. Actually, I think we're looking at a big change in confidence and market psychology in housing right now. Housing prices have bottomed. And there's a bit of frenzy once again in markets, you know, not unlike we saw back in, 2005 and 6. It's clearly a very different market now than then. But we are seeing when a property comes on the market, we're seeing multiple offers. We're seeing sales prices that are higher than the list. And market prices are actually moving up if you look at the realtor data.
Yeah, I mean, this core logic puts out a pending home price index that came out today, that the five states experiencing the most price appreciation, top of the list, Arizona prices up 12%, Idaho up over 9%, South Dakota, Montana, and Michigan are the top five states for price appreciation.
Yeah, and that's consistent with the data that we have from the Realtor Association, multiple listing data, that shows in Metro Phoenix, for instance, prices bottomed there about 9 months ago, and since then, prices have been increasing at a 32% annual rate.
Wow.
In Phoenix, the bottom came about 6 months ago, and the increase is more like 15% at an annual rate. So those are really really interesting numbers. I think it really changes how people perceive this market.
Yeah, and Phoenix, you were mentioning their market really starting to pick up. The Valley home prices have reached now 2003 levels with the median sales price of a home in the region now up 32% over a 12-month period.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the sales that that we're seeing are investor related, I think, and it also reflects some of the real estate investment trusts. The REITs are coming in and buying up properties, especially in Phoenix, but Tucson also. And these trusts are buying properties with the idea of renting those properties going forward. And so there's a good deal of investor demand here at this point. And you know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that that will continue. I think the key, of course, is migration flows, and I still don't see any evidence of migration flows picking up. Mobility is still at a very low level. That has to happen, and we need to get people actually living in the houses before we can start building again. And once we start building, then we'll see the kick with the economy.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that with Marshall Vest. Can Arizona once again be a so-called people magnet? That as we continue with the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Call us now, 790-2040, 790-2040 for questions or comments for Marshall Vest. We'll be right back.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended Custom Foot Orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Coming up now on 1250 on the Buckmaster Show, support for our program comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. UA Economic Research forecaster Marshall Vest is with us today on the Buckmaster Show. And Marshall, we were talking before the break about what it is going to take to get people moving here again. And Arizona had pretty much been known as one of these people magnet states. And then things really slowed down, didn't it?
Well, yeah, Arizona and Florida are the two states that are unlike any other as magnets for retirees, certainly, but also a magnet for business. And during this recession, with the collapse of the housing market and with people getting upside down in their houses, that is, owing more on the houses than what they were worth, they found themselves frozen in place, and so mobility dropped to the lowest level in about 60 years in this country. As long as housing prices continued to fall, that situation just got worse and worse. Now with housing prices moving back up, this is a really good sign because that situation is now getting better rather than worse. Household net worth is moving up, so people feel more confident in going out and spending. With housing prices moving up, it means that appraisers don't feel the pressure or as much pressure to lower the dollar per square foot with each property that they appraise. So this really is a major change in the market and market psychology. And I just hope that we can see the follow through and get the population moving once again in this country. And as we've seen in the past, we get half of our in-migrants from California. So I'm keeping an eye on Southern California markets to see how they're doing.
In the long term, I guess population growth above 3% really is kind of a key. It's kind of the key, isn't it, 3%?
Well,
to keep it sustainable.
Yeah, 3% is kind of where we were during the past couple of decades, average of about 3% growth per year statewide, more like 2% in Metro Tucson. Tucson doesn't grow as fast, of course, as Metro Phoenix does. And the employment numbers as well, Bill, most of the growth that we've seen during the past year has been in the Metro Phoenix area. We're not seeing very much employment growth yet in Tucson. Would expect that to improve as we go forward, but we have to get through this year-end fiscal cliff and get all this uncertainty behind us, get the national presidential elections behind us, which also has a depressing effect on confidence.
The situation in the Eurozone and Europe is going to have an impact too, isn't it?
Yeah, the Eurozone is in a recession currently, and you know, it varies from week to week as to how people are feeling about progress being made there. Greece is probably going to drop out of the Eurozone and stop using the euro and go to their own currency. It's a bad situation for Greece either way they go. But what we're hoping is that the situation in Europe doesn't turn into another financial meltdown like we had in this country that precipitated the Great Recession. Hopefully we'll be able to work through this without much effect on the world economy.
The state economy, we now have a balanced budget, have for the last couple of years. State lawmakers have balanced the budget with really some dramatic cuts. Do you see room for improvement there, or what were some of your thoughts on the last couple of legislative sessions?
Well, yeah, the last session, the legislature was able to pass a balanced budget, and the budget should be balanced current fiscal year and well, current being the one that just ended last week, and then fiscal 13, which we're just beginning right now. Fiscal year begins July 1. The year after, though, it looks like as we start phasing in some additional tax cuts that were passed by the legislature a year or so ago, tax cuts on the business side, that we'll once again have a budget shortfall and the prospect of more budget cuts as those tax cuts are phased in. And the phase-in isn't complete until fiscal year 18. We could be looking at another billion-dollar shortfall, though, Bill, in just a couple of years from now.
We have these spending mandates in Arizona that we really – the prisons take up a huge part of our state budget, spending mandates that really the lawmakers can't do much about.
Yeah, minimum sentencing laws that we have would just incarcerate a large number of people. And the state budget now about it's over 10%, almost 11% of the state general fund budget goes for corrections. And we're now spending more for corrections than we are for higher education, which is now down about 9%.
Wow. Getting back to the home prices, people are probably wondering when they're going to see the home prices, their home values go back to what they were. That could take many, many years, couldn't it?
Well, depending upon the
what they were before the recession.
Yeah. There are a number of different price indexes out there, so this depends upon which one you look at, but roughly, housing prices in Metro Phoenix fell by about 50%. In Tucson, it was more like 35%. Again, it's going to be a long time, I think, before we get back to where prices were at the peak back in 2007.
Is anybody doing any new home building?
There's a little bit happening. You know, there are buyers who simply don't want to live in a used home. They want new, and so permits actually are higher than they were a year ago, but they're still at a very low level. If you look at the path that we followed, you'd have to conclude that building activity is still bouncing along the bottom.
What about downtown? Do you see progress being made in downtown? A lot of new restaurants have been opening up. There seems to be a little bit of a buzz going on downtown.
Yeah, I think things are really moving downtown. The university is moving some classes downtown. We have quite a bit of student housing being developed. We have the the streetcar project. It's going to help get students from the university area downtown. And I think there are some things happening downtown that we've been waiting for quite some time, and it's happening.
Marshall Vest been with us here, the economic forecaster from the University of Arizona. Marshall has been with the University of Arizona, 33 years?
We'll be 33.
And still going strong. For a while anyway, right?
For a while.
All right.
Yes.
Marshall Vest, thank you very much for being with us.
Okay. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. We want to tell you, and we're delighted to do so, that bottled water on our program on the Buckmaster Show is provided by our friends at Culligan Water, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business, including water softeners, water filtration systems, delivered bottled water equipment installation, and repair services. That's going to do it for the Monday edition of this Independence Week here on the Buckmaster Show. We will be back with you tomorrow. We'll have a political conversation at the top of the show. State Representative Dr. Matt Hines, who is running against Ron Barber for Congress. That'll be at the top of the show tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.